Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we were taught that when we suffer for our Christian stand, we can call on the Lord for strength to withstand it. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, as we look here in verse 9, the first thing to see is the Christian worker bounded. It states, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Yes, sometimes we are bound. We get bounded in the work, and it becomes a work which we ourselves can do no more. And so it says, wherein I suffer trouble. Now in verse 3, the same Greek word is interpreted, endure hardness. It means to suffer from the hand of evil, to suffer evil or affliction, to bear up in affliction. We have those today that want to preach positive only messages. One national preacher was asked, do you preach on hell? Do you believe in a hell? And he simply just said, I wish not to focus on that. And there's too many good things about the Bible that we don't have to focus on that. We don't have to preach about that. Well, you know what? That national preacher would have hated Jesus Christ because he preached more on hell as recorded than any other preacher. So again, we see these positive only ministries. They have a problem. They're like Israel of old. Now understand, when we say Israel of old, we're talking about the religious people, just like the people in churches today. And those people said in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 12, they were saying, prophesy unto us smooth things. Make us feel good about ourselves. The resurrection calls the believer to a true stand for Jesus Christ, and to do so on the world's home turf. That makes us an enemy of Satan, of Satan's disciples, and this world. I remember, as a little boy between the ages of 7 and 8 years old, my neighbor friend, it was during the summer, and he asked for me to come over to his house. We were at his house. His mother and father were also at work. And so we were in the house, and he took me up into the attic. And we walked through the attic together, walking on the wood, those boards. And I was doing it just like the neighbor. That's the first time I'd been in an attic. I'm 7 or 8 years old, never been in an attic. So it was the first time experience for me. And we were walking on that board until I thought, well, you know what? I'm following him walking on that wood, but really, it's hard to do that all the time. I think I'm just going to take a step down here on the floor, which was the ceiling. And of course, as soon as I stepped on it, I went through the ceiling. Fortunately, I caught myself, and I was just hanging up there on the wood with my feet sticking down and legs through the ceiling. Well, needless to say, for the next couple weeks, even though it was summer, I wore extra shirts, sweatshirts, and pants with extra pants, so that when my father arrived at home, that if he found out, I just might cushion the impact. Now, if he found out at that time, he just never let me know about it, because it was never brought up. Now, I have since told him about that. I waited till I was older, and he was too old to lift anything. But nonetheless, the neighbor's boy's dad really had strict rules that he was not to climb in the attic, especially if dad wasn't at home. And so once he did that, the dad applied the board of knowledge to the seat of understanding so that that would not happen again. Now think about this. I'm the one that failed. I'm the one that went through the ceiling. But the neighbor boy who got the spanking. Now, that's not a real good analogy, but it's safe to say he suffered for something bad I did. Because if I had not fallen through, his dad wouldn't have found out. And so he suffered for something bad that I did as I fell through the ceiling. The Apostle Paul suffered for something good that Jesus did. And he adds that he suffered as an evildoer, just like Jesus suffered as a malefactor at the cross. Under Nero, Christians were not criminal, but the decree of Nero made them criminal for their belief and practice of the faith. And many were condemned to death as a result, with some being made into human candles to light Nero's garden. He would impale them on poles, cover them with oil, and then light their bodies. And as their bodies would flame up, it would light his gardens. Now, this type of condemnation was not removed until A.D. 112. The fact that Paul was changed, chapter 1, verse 16, shows that he was legally regarded by Neroian law as having committed the foulest of crimes. His character is impugned in the minds of the Roman citizenry. Now, they would see him. They may not know him. They may have heard of him. But if they would see him in chains, if he'd be outside and the Roman guard would have him outside, would take him with him somewhere, they'd look at him and say, yuck, he's not just a prisoner. He's chained. He must have really done something very terrible. And that's how he'd be viewed. As a result, he is in bonds. The Christian worker is often bounded by Satan's oppression to keep him from the work. Satan will do all he can to prevent you from doing the work. Sometimes there's a problem in the home. Sometimes there's a problem in just the job or other things. And these are things that come up, and you have a choice. Do that work God wants you to do, or bow out of it for a little bit while you handle this other thing. And that is Satan's way of keeping you from the work. How many homes have really been stirred up in such a way that the husband, the wife, are no longer serving the Lord because of something to do with the children or some kind of a problem in their marriage? Oh, my friend, Satan attacks in so many ways. Now, whereas we see this Christian worker is bounded, we next see Christ's word, that is the word of God, is unbounded. Notice what he says there in the last half of verse 9. But the word of God is not bound. Praise the Lord for that. As the book of 2 Timothy shows us, the pastor is leading the church into the ministry in the world. He must instruct. He must warn. And the church must know the word of God is not bound. We have a man in our church. His name is Dan Olashay. And Brother Dan is a missionary who is home now and probably home for about 5 or 6 years. He was in Africa, in Uganda, and he has gone over there as a Bible translator to get the Bible in their language. And since then, as he started, he's developed ways to be able to translate the Bible and shave off about 10, 15, maybe more years of what it would take to translate an entire Bible through the training. And yet, every word that's translated goes through a checking system of 21 times. And so, now he's home when he would like to be over there, but he has to work on some more work because those Bible translations also need a verifier. And so now he's completing that education to be a verifier. So there's something that came in that withheld him from staying where he was, yet in getting out the Word of God, he's going to do more than he could do. I think of BIMI. So I'm a member of that board, and I can remember that a couple of years ago, we had a drive to get Bibles to the Fiji Islands. And we were able to raise thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and to be able to get many thousands of Bibles to all the elementary and secondary schools in the Fiji Islands. Now, we don't have that many missionaries over there, but do you realize that the Word of God will be able to accomplish much in those areas? And they were good old King James Bibles. English is one of their main languages, and so everybody speaks English over there. And it may be their second language, but they have it, and now they have a Bible. And yet the Word of God is not bound. And long after missionaries are kicked out, and long after missionaries' lives end, and long after others are gone that stood, the Word of God continues. It's not bound. You see, the adversaries of truth may be able to silence the witness of a godly man, as they have in some foreign lands, and putting them to death, even beheading. Beheading and killing Christians because their religion is not strong enough to overcome the power of the Holy Spirit working through them and people getting converted. And because their religion is so weak, it cannot withstand the gospel witness. And so they silence these men. They cut off heads and things of that nature. But my friend, they cannot silence God. Isn't that great? They cannot silence God. They may try, but they cannot silence Him. I like the statement that Henry Morse, the late Dr. Henry Morse, made on this point. He said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." The great Apostle Paul would never again emerge from his miserable prison. But the world can never imprison the Word of God.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.